Harihitam Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavilyam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Being an associate of Lord Krishna, Arjuna was above all ignorance, but Arjuna was put into ignorance on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to question Lord Krishna about the problems of life so that the Lord could explain them for the benefit of future generations of human beings, to chalk out the plan of life. Then man could act accordingly and perfect the mission of human life. Important to note, because now we're going to, the next is the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita, is to note that Arjuna himself wasn't in ignorance, but he's put into ignorance so he'd ask questions. So the kind of questions he's asking, these are the kind of questions a man in ignorance should be asking. Right? Not doubting the process, the Vedic literatures and that, but how to apply it, right? Because we've already established before Krishna's position, what he speaks is truth, it's eternal, as he is eternal, so therefore it should be applied, right? Does that make sense? Right? So that kind of thing. So this element is that the aspect is that we have to be very careful that we don't get bewildered from the actual purpose of the Vedic literatures and human life, thinking that, well, it's Kali Yuga, what can you do? But if you think about it, in the other yugas, the point is they were more pious. But were they more Krishna conscious? You understand? Right? King Pururavas, wasn't it Pururavas? Yeah, he was extremely pious, so pious that the Yuga Dharma was manifest through him, right? That of the Karmakanda Yajna, right? But was he God conscious? It's not brought out that he is specifically. So that's the beginning of the Treta Yuga, the end of the Satya Yuga, right? Does this make sense? So this idea is that, oh, nobody's God conscious, how can we do anything? They've never been God conscious. Who's been God conscious? Right? You have all the demigods. Who's God conscious?
Saturn.
Hmm?
Saturn.
Okay, some degree, but generally what comes to mind is, yeah, he's a devotee, Narad Muni's a devotee, Yamaraj is a devotee, Lord Shiva's a devotee. Do you know why Lord Shiva, you know, wears snakes and covers himself with ashes and hangs out at the crematorium? Yeah, so the other demigods who are very materialistic leave him alone. They don't invite him to his parties. Who wants a guy with snakes at your party, you know, covered with ash, you know, sitting across the table? You know, well, the snakes come out and, well, they bite you, you know, like that. So they just, you know, he's not invited. Right? But where he sits under his banyan tree, the Narad Muni, the four Kumaras, they always go. Right? So that means the universe may be pious, follows the Vedic culture, but they're not God conscious. So what is the important element? Right? God consciousness. So the culture is there for God consciousness, but people are God conscious, but not, I mean, by our culture, but not being God conscious. So the point is whether they're cultured or uncultured, the same problem remains. Lack of God consciousness. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. There's no lack of anything in the material world. The only thing it lacks is God consciousness. So to say it's Kali Yuga, then what can we do? What's the difference now than any other time? People are just as less God conscious as they were any other time. But that doesn't stop the great personalities from preaching. You know what I'm saying? So someone's pious, more pious. Now we can say, oh, but they're so much more pious. Then why are we have stories of Magrari the hunter and Dasaratnakar? Right? Dasaratna is a dacoit. He kills people, takes their money, and maintains his family. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that guy would ever make it in ISKCON, right? I'd never allow him in, right? After being preached to by Narad Muni, he became Valmiki and wrote the Ramayana, but, you know. You understand? So, these kind of things, so this has always been going on. There's always been uncultured people. Like that? You understand? So it's no different. It's no different. It's an environment that one is comfortable moving in. Right? You walk down the street, people say whatever they like. So why can't you say whatever you like? You understand? People dress however they like. Why can't you dress however you like? They eat whatever they like. Why can't you eat whatever you like? You know what I'm saying? So it's matched. The people from this age match the culture of this age. So what's the problem? No? So the point is Arjuna, he's been put into ignorance, so he asks questions. These are the kind of questions someone in ignorance should be asking. Not, well, what are the doubts about, you know, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and so then we can make everybody comfortable with it. No, it's a matter of how do you apply God consciousness in your life. In other words, you want to clear the doubts. Yes, that's good. But the doubts should be cleared so that you can apply it. Otherwise, you clear doubts and do nothing with it. What is that? What is that? Then you're just, you know, you're just sitting in your armchair and enjoying discussing, you know, the various topics. But that's the occupation of armchair philosophers. Does that make sense? That's what they do. Sit around, have a nice discussion, try to work out this and that, right? Because the doubt is like this. If I say, okay, let's discuss positive Krishna consciousness, right? You know, you draw a lot of blank faces. You say, let's discuss issues, right? Then you get a very nice, you know, interaction. You know, people are animated, emotions are there. Some intensity, fullness is there. It's a complete experience. Well, if it's just Krishna consciousness, you know, hey, you know, maybe nice, maybe not nice. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So, it appeals to armchair philosophers. Right? But, Arjuna's not an armchair philosopher. So, he asks questions that are practical. How is he going to apply this God consciousness in his life? He has faith that it'll work. That's why he's surrendered. He accepts Krishna as his spiritual master. So having surrendered, having taken initiation, then that means now you don't doubt the position of Krishna, the scriptures, the path of devotional service, like that. Your only doubt is how am I going to apply this? Because I am so foolish, I am unable to understand. Does that make sense? So with this understand, then we can move into God consciousness. We can move into this, the subject matter. Okay. The subject matter of Bhagavad Gita entails the comprehension of five basic truths. Right? First of all, the science of God is explained, and then the constitutional position of the living entities, jivas. There is Ishwara, which means the controller, and there are jivas, the living entities, which are controlled. They are not Ishwara or the controller. They are controlled. Okay. Artificially, if a living entity says that he is not controlled, but that he is free, then he is insane. The living being is controlled in every respect, at least in his conditioned life. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter deals with the Ishwara, the supreme controller, and the jivas, the controlled living entities. Prakriti, material nature, and and time, the duration of existence of the whole universe or the manifestation of the material nature, and karma, activity, are also described. The whole universe, whole cosmic manifestation, is full of different activities. All living entities are engaged in different activities. From Bhagavad Gita, we must learn that what God is, what the living entities are, what Prakriti is, what the cosmic manifestation is, how it is controlled by time, and what the activities of the living entities are. Right? So these are the five subject matters. You know these five subject matters, you know philosophy. There's nothing outside of this. But this is, as it's mentioned here, these are the different truths. You know, these are the aspects that one must know, like that. This is what is called Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means you actually understand the position of things. What's the relationship of things? Because only if that's understood can you work with it. If you don't understand what something is, you cannot work with it. You have to understand what something is. So that is Sambandha Gyan. So what you're working with is God, the living entities, and the material manifestation. That's what's there. Now, in that manifestation, then you also have to understand how time controls that manifestation and what the living entities do in that manifestation, right? So that covers everything, all topics, right? Everything else would be, you know, sub. Okay, they've done this activity, they got this result, you know, or it's, you know, how you say, 7:13 and 33 seconds. You know, this is details. But the point is that we're understanding that if you understand this, you know everything. There's not something outside of this. This is knowledge. Chit, achit, ishwara. It's common. All the sampradayas use it. Chit means the you know, consciousness or the living entities. Achit, where it's not conscious, the material energy. And ishwara, the Lord who controls them both. You understand these, then like that. Then you understand, have knowledge. Now, then we add to that kala and karma, or time and activities, because then what are the appropriate activities? What do living entities do that are not God conscious? What do living entities do that are God conscious? Right? So that we can understand. So this is defining that this nature, like we see later in the Gita, the divine and demoniac, it's always been there. We have this idea now in Kali Yuga, just at this time it's come up, we're overwhelmed, what can we do? So therefore I can just go on with my little mundane lifestyle and, you know, and that's it. Right? But the demons and the devotees have always been there. The pious and the impious. It's always been there. Right? It's the material world, it's how it functions. These things are always there. Right? So understanding that, then what we're dealing with here means it always applies. Right? Bhagavad Gita is spoken in the beginning to the sun god. And then it comes down. The parampara. Having come down, then we see even Nanda Baba is quoting from Bhagavad Gita before Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. What? Because he's re-speaking it. But that knowledge is there. Everyone uses it. They apply it. Right. Does that make sense? Out of these five subject matters in Bhagavad Gita, it is established that the Supreme Godhead, or Krishna, or Brahman, or the Supreme Controller, or Paramatma, you may use whatever name you like, is the greatest of all. The living beings... Okay, so you're establishing the Supreme Lord. He is the greatest, right? There's no one better. Like this term Godhead, like that. In the, how you say, we understand he means the fountainhead of all other great personalities. So Godhead is a term used in your modern religious circles to try to identify, you know, the Supreme Lord. Because otherwise, different people have different ideas about the Supreme Lord. Because many have a problem that the Supreme Lord, how could he make anything imperfect? Right? If he's perfect, how could there be something imperfect? If he's so just, why is there injustice in this world? If he's so kind and merciful, why is that people are in all different, you know, statuses of life and suffering? Right? So because of this, then the Gnostics and other branches and that, they establish that there's someone else who's doing the creation. Right? And so because of this, then that person is imperfect. And so they made an imperfect place. But beyond that is the supreme. So because everybody has a different idea than that common point of Godhead, then they understand, oh, that's who you're talking about. Because otherwise they get confused. Is the God of Abraham the Godhead? Or is he the guy that created this place and made a mess? You know what I'm saying? So this is what they spend their time doing. Right? So this word is so here's supreme Godhead, because they may have their ideas of Godhead, but supreme Godhead, then that's Krishna. So it's beyond all that, then you have Krishna. So he's making it very, very clear. He's one without a second. There's no one else. So it's very good. Now you can see him on any level. You can see him as Krishna, the all-attractive, supreme Godhead, Brahman, Paramatma. Right, so either on all those levels, the Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, and within Bhagavan is very sweet and attractive, or as Vishnu is the supreme controller. Right? Doesn't matter. The living entities are in quality like the supreme controller. For instance, the Lord has control over the universal affairs of material nature, as will be explained in the latter chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Material nature is not independent. She is acting under the directions of the Supreme Lord. As Lord Krishna says, Mayadyakshena Prakriti, Suyate Sa Characharam. This material nature is working under my direction. So we are mistaken when we see wonderful things happening in the cosmic creation. We should know that behind these wonderful manifestations, there is a controller. Nothing could be manifested without being controlled. It is childish not to consider the controller. For instance, a child may think that an automobile is quite wonderful to be able to run without a horse or another animal pulling it. But a sane man knows that in spite of all engineering arrangements in the motor car, without the driver, it cannot move. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the driver under whose direction everything is working. So then this thing here is, we'll say, oh yes, it's childish to think this and that. But think about it. If we think that the world is working without Krishna's control, Krishna is saying that we should preach. And it's his world. And then if we think, no, this material world is not actually functioning in a way that can be God conscious. That means you think the material world is working without Godhead behind it, without a driver. That is childish. This is the extent that it goes. So otherwise say, oh yeah, the child may think like this. I'm talking about, you know, 50-year-old men. It's childish that they would think that this creation is going on without Krishna's control. But the point is how is it controlled? It's controlled according to the laws of God, but what particular manifestation, because there's unlimited aspects, is manifested according to our desire. So we want everything to be modern and not God conscious, it is. Right? So it's our idea that's like that. So we change our idea. Why want everything else change? Does that make sense? The house is going on. The child's hungry. Then, you know, everything starts, you know, manifesting in that way. The child's tired. It starts moving in that way. Right? The whole house is there, but whatever is happening with the child, that's what's going on in the house. Right? So if it's like this, it's because we want it like this. We can say, no, I don't want it like this. Hey, go back a few years and then tell me you didn't like it like that. Right? and because it wasn't working the way you wanted it to, therefore then you became a devotee. And now as a devotee, now it's going to work the way you want it? No, the point was is it doesn't work the way we want it, it works the way God wants it. It would be manifest according to our interest, but it still works according to His laws. Right? The child wants to go to sleep, that means it goes and sleeps in the bed. That's the way it works. It wants to go sleep on the roof. No, it doesn't work like that. Or out in the bushes, or... No, you know. Does that make sense? So, child wants to sleep, sleeping is arranged by the laws of God. So, you want to be not God conscious, then you can be not God conscious, but you're still going to be not God conscious the way God says not God consciousness will work. You understand? Therefore, the six systems of philosophy. These are the way you want to be not God conscious, this is the way it works. Like that. It's very simple. Like that. We think we're so independent, but then that means we think we're independent of God. That's illusion. That is what Prabhupada mentioned here as childish. It is childish not to consider the controller. That's all. You know, okay, so maybe we can talk and walk and we can go to the bathroom ourselves. But it still doesn't mean that it's not childish. Okay? Okay, so now that we're explaining the Supreme Lord, right? Because we have these, the subject matter is Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, and Karma, right? Then Ishvara is Krishna, the controller of everything. Jiva, the living entity, is only a subordinate controller. As I mentioned, he's a controller, he's like Godhead, but he's subordinate controller. He is also Prakriti, and is controlled by Krishna. Right, so he's in between. He's Prakriti, but he's a controller, but a small controller. Prakriti, material nature, constituted of three qualities, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. That will come up. Kala is energy, eternal time. This is the energy of Krishna. It makes everything work. Otherwise, how is there movement? How does dead matter move without time? Right? It's Krishna's potency. That's why it works. Any movement is time. We wonder what time is. Time is movement. Because that is what makes things work. So by time, things work. Why does a verb describe time? You understand? If time wasn't important for movement, why would the verb specifically define time? Right? Because it's through time that action happens. Right? And then karma is then by a combination of the three modes and under the control and purview of eternal time, there are activities. Right? So the three modes combined with time creates karma. Does that make sense? So now, what do you have to do to step out of karma? Time you're not going to get away from. Become free from the modes. So therefore, if you perform activities under time, which is Krishna, free from the modes, then there's no karma. Right? Then it means it's getting results, it's acting still according to the laws, but you're not getting material reaction, you're getting spiritual reaction. That makes sense? Okay, now what is material nature? So now we've described the... Oh, no, we didn't finish it here. A particle of gold is also gold. So we're describing the jivas, right? Means, so in trying to say that they have the qualities of God, then you have to make sure that they understand that there's still a difference. Like, the living entities are in quality like the supreme controller, right? Means God has over the universal affairs and the living entity over small amount of affairs. Now, if he thinks God's not in control of his small little purview of influence, that's illusion, right? That's childish. So we're having to establish that. Now we come back to continuing that point. So it's just like the living beings are in quality like the supreme controller. A particle of gold is also gold. A drop of water from the ocean is also salty. And similarly, we, the living entities, being part and parcel of the Supreme Controller, Ishvara, or Bhagavan, Lord Shri Krishna, have qualitatively all the qualities of the Supreme Lord in minute quantity, because we are minute Ishwaras, subordinate Ishwaras. Right? You understand? We are trying to control nature as presently we are trying to control space or planets. It says we are trying to float imitation planets. And this tendency to control is there because partially we have got that controlling tendency. Because we should know this tendency is not, but we should know this tendency is not sufficient. But all, oh, okay. But although we have a tendency to lord it over material nature, we should know that we are not the supreme controller. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Right, so we can see here, it means he's bringing out that the living entity is similar like Krishna, just like the gold and the gold mine. The quantity is different. Quality is the same. Right? Quality is the same. But quantity is very different. So that would mean then the same functions are going on. God's created the creation. It works according to his laws. And we, being part and parcel of him, having that same nature, then how it works for God is how it's going to work for us. Does that make sense? So God's laws are the laws by which he acts. So it's the same laws that will work for us. So to say it's going to be different, that's childish. That's childish. Because how will we act? It's only the Lord's potencies that make things work. Right. So the point is God does these things because that's his nature, right? Everybody acts according to his nature, Krishna says. So that means Krishna acts according to his nature. And so how he acts according to his nature, as us being part and parcel, we have the same nature, but in a minute state. So therefore, the natural activity for us is the same nature. And the conditioned nature, having come from God also, is going to work according to the same laws. There's no way you can get out of it that we're not supposed to be doing what God says. That's what makes him the supreme controller. We can control. There's no problem being a controller. But as long as you control according to Krishna, right? Yudhishthira is a controller. He manages the world. But he does it according to Krishna's direction to please Krishna. Right? Duryodhana manages the world, okay, according to Krishna's direction, but not to please Krishna. Right? So therefore, his management works well, but his devotion doesn't seem to be increasing. Right? Right? Does that make sense? Okay. What is material nature? This is also explained in the Gita as the inferior prakriti, inferior nature, right? So in other words, you have prakriti. So you have higher grade, middle grade, lower grade, right? So material energy is the lower grade because it's unconscious, dead matter. The internal is the highest because it's always absorbed in Krishna. The jivas can be either take on the quality of higher or the quality of lower, depending upon what they want to do. But even if they're taking on the quality of lower, still their nature is transcendental. They still act and do things in the same way. They're not different. So the souls are all working to become happy. Right? So if they're an illusion, thinks the material energy will get them this happiness, then they're endeavoring there. But even if they're endeavoring a material, they always have to create a supreme. And that has to be the source of their happiness. They always know that bringing their life in line with that supreme is what's going to make them happy. Everybody's doing that. Right? You have some punk kids on the street. They have people that they think are great. They try to bring the line in like with them. Right? You know, some musicians, some other people like this. They bring their life in line with it. You dress like that, that's good. You don't dress like that's not good. You talk like them, that's good. You don't talk like them, you're not good. Right? They have their source of happiness. You understand? Doesn't matter. So when we say everything's so different, what's so different? It's just a different manifestation. You know, it'd be like saying, oh, it's Kali Yuga, people don't eat food anymore. So how are we going to eat prasad? No, they eat food, just their quality of food is different.
Just because one problem that the communists are saying how different we are across any other time, you just worship someone and you worship Krishna.
Yeah, that's all. Because they think you know, Marx and Stalin, these guys, they're deities. Right? Not a deity. Why is he? You can go to the Red Square, and who's still there? Lenin, right? Yeah, he's still there in his nice little box, all embalmed. And it's amazing how many people go through there. I don't remember, but it's some ridiculous amount of people go through every year. I mean, millions of people go and visit. It's just like, it's a pilgrimage. So they think that'll make them happy. It's the same thing. The jiva has to be happy. He knows there's a supreme. And by bringing his life in line with that supreme, he will be happy. And you do that by doing good work. I guess another reason to remove the fan. You know, and it's no different them sitting there and checking out the fan blades, and you know, the family goes and looks at a new apartment. What do you think of this? Well, you know, it's like, you know, we can set this up here or there. And, oh, I don't know if that'll be quite right and all that. And see, already she's split and he's left on. What's wrong? It's a great fan. She's already gone. You know, but, he's still sitting there. I can make this work. It's the same thing. Like that. Same experience. Don't think they're not getting the same experience. It's not quite as sophisticated, you could say. Yeah, he's trying to say, for a nice place. Like that. What is material nature? This is also explained in the Gita as inferior prakriti, inferior nature. The living entities are explained as the superior prakriti. Prakriti is always under control, whether inferior or superior. Prakriti is female, and she is controlled by the Lord, just as the activities of a wife are controlled by the husband. Prakriti is always subordinate, predominated by the Lord, who is the predominator. The living entities and material nature are both predominated, controlled by the Supreme Lord. According to the Gita, the living entities, although parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are to be considered prakriti. This is clearly mentioned in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Apareyam itas tvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhutam. This material nature is my inferior prakriti. But beyond this is another prakriti, jiva bhuta, the living entities, right? So this element of controller and at the same time controlled, it's very important, is that, in other words, since the material energy is controlled by the Lord, the jivas are controlled by the Lord, so therefore if jivas are going to be controller, they have to be controlling material energy according to the Lord's direction, how he wants to control, because it's his to control, right? It's a straight basic logic. Right? The Lord controls the jivas and the material energy. Right? Since he controls the material energy, if the jivas are going to act as controllers, they have to control it in line with God's control. Right? So the thing is, but that's based on consciousness, because it will act according to God's laws, but we in illusion think it won't. So it does anyway. But because we think it's not, we think it's under our control, therefore we get karma. We get reaction. Right? Just like one time Narad Muni is traveling through space and Ravana happened to bump into him. So then Narad Muni, you know, was making some comments about his behavior and all that. Ravana didn't appreciate it. So he pulled out his sword and, you know, attacked Narad Muni and, you know, tried to cut him into many pieces. Having done that, then he noticed that even though the sword went straight through Narad Muni many times, Narad Muni's still sitting there standing there with a grin on his face. So then Narad Muni mentions to him, he says, my body's spiritual, so you can't, your sword can do nothing to me. So you haven't hurt me by attacking me in this way. But because you were attempting to, right, even though you technically you can't do anything, for that, then you'll get a reaction. So he was cursed. I don't remember what Narad Muni's curse was, but it was one of the, you know, curses that was the undoing of Ravana. So in the same way as the material energy is Krishna's energy, it's going to act according to the way is his direction, his laws. But because we think we're controlling it, we get the reaction, even though it still acts according to God's laws. Does that make sense? So this idea, our controlling position has to be in line with the Lord's laws. Right? And so that's just defined in Bhagavad Gita. That's where it goes. And we see as this whole thing is right here in the beginning, we can see is that Krishna dealing with the Prakriti, right? So the masculine and feminine principle is introduced right here. And that then that means is that the Purusha is in control of Prakriti. So that means anything within the creation, as we said, as God's nature is how his manifestation will be. Because it's his energy, so it's also non-different from him, so it'll act according to his nature. So therefore everything still works under this masculine and feminine principle. So everything within the creation, you can define according to the culture, right? So tattva is control or control, but then the way masculine and feminine interact, that's the etiquette. So from the same philosophy, you can establish philosophy, I mean, from the same philosophy, you can understand the technical points, you know, the tattva. At the same time, you can understand rasa, you can understand culture. So this idea is that Bhagavatam is just philosophy, Gita is just philosophy, then is a mistake. Like that. The two are non-different. God and his creation are non-different. Right? He is rasa. Right? So where is going to be the difference? It's just a matter of understanding. Right? Someone speaking in French, someone speaking in German, you can say, oh, it's completely different. But they're saying the same thing. You just have to know the translation. You don't know the translation, of course, then it doesn't seem like the same. But it is the same thing. You just have to know the translation. Then you can apply the philosophy into everything. Right. Okay, so now we've established the material energy is inferior to the jivas, but is Prakriti nonetheless controlled by the Lord. Material nature. Okay, it says this material nature is working under my direction. So that's also an important point. It's working under the direction. She's doing the work. But it's under the direction of the Lord. In other words, what is the laws given by Krishna, what he wants done, that's what she does. So he doesn't do it himself. She does it, but he's in control of it because it's his rules. It's his energy. You know? In other words, you know, the guy that brings the bat and ball to the playing field, you know, he makes the rules. You know, it's you know, if you don't like, it's his bat and ball, they go home. So it's like material nature is constituted by three qualities: the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. Above these modes, there is eternal time. And by a combination of these modes of nature and under the control and purview of eternal time, there are activities which are called karma. Right? Understand? This is an introduction. Whoever thought of karma as the combination of time and the modes of nature? Right? It's just right here in the introduction. It's a very clear, simple thing. Right? These activities are being carried out from time immemorial, and we are suffering or enjoying the fruits of our activities. For instance, suppose I am a businessman and have worked very hard with intelligence and have amassed a great bank balance. Then I am an enjoyer. But when I say I have lost all my money in business, then I am a sufferer. Similarly, in every field of life, we enjoy the results of our work. This is called karma. Ishwara, the Supreme Lord. Okay, so then time and karma is there. So he mentions activity. And when we do the activity under the modes, that's karma. So in karma, we're trying to enjoy we're trying to enjoy, but we also get suffering along with it. They go together. But that's the one part, you know, even bewildered devotees, they will always feel is, why am I suffering? But we're suffering because of karma. You know, what we do like that, therefore. Ishwara, the Supreme Lord, Jiva, the living entity, Prakriti, nature, Kala, eternal time, and karma, activity, are all explained. All explained. Oh, all explained. In this book here. Okay. Oh, yeah, it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. I thought you were just saying, meaning here, Bhagavad Gita, that's what it says. Yeah. Out of these five, the Lord, the living entities, and material nature. Oh. The Lord, the living entities, material nature, and time are eternal. The manifestation of Prakriti may be temporary, but it is not false. Right? That's important, because now pointed out, the Mayavadis will say it's false, like that, because their philosophy is Vivartavad. Vivartavad means there's no transformation. It looks different because you're an illusion. It's not actually like that. They give the example of the rope and the snake. Is that you see the rope on the ground, you mistake it for a snake. So you think it's a snake, act as if it's a mistake, you enjoy or suffer because it's a mistake. I mean, a snake. But it's illusion because it's not actually a snake, it's a rope. Right? So they will say, everything you see here actually doesn't exist, you just think it exists, it's all Brahman, but you think it's like this, so there's no transformation. It's an illusion. So when you give up that illusion, everything here will just disappear and you'll be situated in Brahman. Right? That's their idea. So Prabhupada is making this point here. The manifestation of Prakriti may be temporary, but it is not false. It means it exists. If we're referring, like in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, that it's false, that means because we're looking at it from the illusory point of view. But it's real, it's there. Right? Temporarily manifest, but it's there. But some philosophers say that the manifestation of the material nature is false. But according to the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, or according to the philosophy of the Vaishnavas, this is not so. The manifestation of the world is not accepted as false. It is accepted as real, but temporary. It is likened under a cloud which moves across the sky, or the coming of the rainy season which nourishes grains. As soon as the rainy season is over, and as soon as the cloud goes away, all the crops which were nourished by the rain dry up. Similarly, this material manifestation takes place at a certain interval, stays for a while, then disappears. Such are the workings of Prakriti. But the cycle is working eternally, right? So the material nature itself is eternal, but its manifestation is temporary. So that's why, because we're dealing with the manifestation, then we call it temporary. Right? Because in its form as eternal, it's as pradhan, and we don't get a whole lot out of that. You know, it's just a completely unconscious mass of all the elements, whatever it is, completely homogeneously mixed up. Right? You know, there's no little lumps here and there, like, you know, chocolate chips or anything. It's just solid, just a homogeneous mass. You can't get anything from it. So there's no question of discussing it like that, except for as the Lord's energy. Like that. Yeah. So this thing of the cloud, it comes, does something, things grow, everything happens, the rain comes, the grains go, and then the cloud goes away, and then everything dries up. Right? So it's like that. It comes, it goes. You know, this is, Prabhupada's giving this from the Brahma Samhita. I think it's in the, I don't remember if it's in the introduction or some of the commentary. But where Prabhupada reads from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's work, what? From the foreword, yes. The Lord refers to this as my Prakriti. This material energy is the separated energy of the Supreme Lord. And similarly, the living entities are also the energy of the Supreme Lord, although they are not separated, but eternally liberated. Right? So, because the material energy is separated because there's no interaction between the Lord and his energy. I mean, this energy. Through his other energies, they deal with it. He doesn't deal with it personally. So the Lord, the living entity, material nature, and time are all interrelated and are all eternal. However, the other term, karma, is not eternal. The effects of karma may be very old indeed. We are suffering or enjoying the results of our activities from time immemorial, but we can change the results of our karma or our activity, and this change depends on the perfection of our knowledge. We are engaged in various activities. Undoubtedly, we do not know what sort of activities we should adopt to gain relief from the actions and reactions of all these activities. But this is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. So everything there is eternal. Karma is not, because you can either be acting within it or not. The principle of activity is eternal, but karma as such, where you get the action and reaction within the material sphere, that's a temporary thing. Okay, so this thing of activities from time immemorial, we always have to remember to not get too distracted by that, because we'll say, oh, eternal. But the point is eternal means it never begins, never ends. Right? Does that make sense? So then if we're going to say, you know, the living entity is eternal, you know, eternally in the material world, and that means no beginning, so he had to be from here, then how is it that there's an end to your material existence? So right there, that you know, takes away the definition of, you know, eternal. You know what I'm saying? So the anadi becomes, what do you call it? Clarified, or what do you call it? Where it's defined. Yeah, it's defined by that nature. And then you say, well, we take up, you know, living in the spiritual world. We'll be there eternally, but you can say, today, the person went back to Godhead. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, we have to be looking at the bigger picture, that the jivas are always eternal. They're always there. It's just whether they're involved in the material manifestation or the spiritual manifestation. So how long they'll be involved in the material manifestation, that you can't say. Every individual is, you know, different. But their nature to be situated, involved with the Supreme Lord, that's their position. So, therefore, they become situated on the eternal platform. That makes sense? So we shouldn't become distracted by this. What is material nature? This is also explained in the Gita as inferior prakriti, inferior nature. Did we just read? Yeah, we already read that. The position of Ishwara, the Supreme Lord, is that of Supreme Controller. Okay, now we're getting into, so now we've established the five topics. Within that five topics, then we've established that four are eternal and one is not. But the material nature, its manifestation being different than the others, is temporary, but is real. Right? And then now we're going to establish their intrinsic differences between the Supreme Lord, the living entities, and material nature. Right, so now we've defined that they're there, what they are, and now we have to define their differences. Okay? Right, so here, the Lord is supremely conscious of all bodies. The living entity is conscious only of his particular body. Even when the Lord descends into the material universe, his consciousness is not material affected. If it were, he would be unfit to speak Bhagavad Gita. But the jiva's consciousness is conditional life, in conditional life is materially contaminated. Both the living entities and material nature are prakriti, energies of the Lord. But the living entity is conscious, whereas material nature is not. Right? So these are the intrinsic differences. Lord is the supreme controller, right? And he is not affected by material energy. The jiva can be affected by it. Therefore, he's not in the same position. And the material energy is under his control and is, how you say, and is not conscious. So the jivas are conscious prakriti, material nature is unconscious prakriti. Right? The jivas can try to control the material energy, but they are conditioned by it in the process. Right? So when they take up service to the Lord, they are not conditioned anymore. So then, therefore, they're not controlled by the material energy. So these are your basic differences. Like that. Okay. So, end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jayanitai Gaura Premanandini.